Well, after a really good and lively morning session, I expect the same after lunch. So the next session is members' communications. Before we move on to that, I'd just like to make one announcement that the agenda for tomorrow, we did have just before lunch, we had the materiality, sorry, the principles of at 11:15, better communications, principles of disclosures, and at 12 o'clock, developments in wider corporate reporting. We have just swapped those over so that they will be in the reverse order from what is on your current agenda. A new agenda has been posted to the site. So just so that you are aware of that, that the agenda items 8 and 9 will now be in the reverse order from what is on your current agenda. I'd also like to say in members' communications that we have Roxana and Michael presenting to us from ESMA, and Goro would also like to, after that, just add a few words about the Asia Oceania office. So he's going to talk on the member communications as well. As I said at the beginning, Roxana, thank you very much for putting this together and talking to us about what ESMA is doing, and particularly around the IFRS taxonomy. So I'll hand over to you for this session.
Thank you very much, Joanna. So the objective of this session is indeed to walk you through what is happening in Europe in terms of developments on digital reporting. Digital reporting is on the ISB agenda, as we saw actually earlier this morning. There are lots of developments happening in the last years, and we saw that there are already a number of countries moving to that, so it is inevitable for Europe to move as well. We feel like we're quite lagging behind because still our timeline for moving it's in some years, it's in 2020. Probably I will just make a couple of points as an introduction, and then my colleague Michael, who is actually the project manager on this topic, will go into a bit more technical details, hopefully not too technical, so that you will still understand what we want to talk about. Just a quick reminder, I think for us, we took the idea of digital reporting. What we aim is basically to see how we can communicate differently the financial information through different technology. ESMA has a particular mandate which has been given by the European Commission in the European context, and looking what is the best technology, and the starting point was really looking very widely on the annual financial report, which includes not only the financial statements but also the management report and other things like that. The population we are talking is about 7,000 issuers, and now they might be differently impacted by our proposal. Obviously, we are talking only about the population which has securities listed on the European regulated markets. So just to make clear from the very beginning, we don't include any other issuer there. And with this, I'm going to hand over to Michael.
Thank you, Roxana. What has happened so far in the project is that we published in 2015 a consultation paper in which we proposed that the annual financial report shall be, on the one hand, in a PDF document, and that parts of the annual financial report shall be in a structured format, so in either inline XBRL or in XBRL, and that the IFRS taxonomy shall be used. We received quite a lot of feedback on this consultation. So we received 161 responses, which is quite a lot for the consultations we normally do. The feedback we received is quite mixed. So on the one hand, we had the users, the auditors, and of course the service providers and software companies who were quite in favor of structured reporting. However, we also received some mixed messages from issuers who also raised some concerns. We summarized then this feedback and published then a feedback statement in December 2016, in which we also outlined what will be the suggested policy line. And this slide is a bit well, I have to say, a bit overly detailed probably. Just I will give you the content in a nutshell. What we will require, or what the suggester require, is that only the IFRS consolidated financial statements shall be in a structured format, and the other parts of the annual financial report, such as the individual financial statements, the management report, or any other statements contained in it, will be only in an unstructured format. When I was speaking about structured and unstructured format, what does that mean in practice? On the one hand, the whole annual financial report will be in an XHTML document, and XHTML, as probably some of you might know, it's basically the language of the internet, so an XHTML document can be opened with standard web browsers such as Microsoft Internet Explorer or Google Chrome. So no separate rendering mechanism is necessary to open such a document. The document is human readable, and if properly formatted, it can have basically the shape and feel of a PDF document. So that is for the annual financial report as a whole. And whenever the annual financial report contains consolidated financial statements according to IFRS, then these have to be tagged using XBRL. So tagging means marking it up with metadata and making it therefore machine readable and processable through software. There is a format which allows to embed XBRL tags directly in such an XHTML document. This format is called inline XBRL, and this is the format we propose in these instances. Inline XBRL allows that there is a connection between the human readable rendering on the one hand and the XBRL tags on the other hand, unlike what we proposed initially in the consultation paper, that there would be a separate PDF document which would have been entirely disconnected from the XBRL instance document. So this will not be the case now with the proposal contained in the feedback statement. So on this next slide, you see an illustration of how inline XBRL looks like. So you have the financial statements in a human-readable form. As you might know it, you see here the income statement of Intel. And when you hover over this income statement, then you would see that the numbers in the income statement are tagged with XBRL tags. And therefore, they can be recognized by software and can be processed by machines. So inline XBRL is not a completely new technology. It's already used in several jurisdictions, most notably in the UK, where it's required for reporting financial statements to the tax authorities. But it's also used in other jurisdictions, as in Australia, in Denmark, in Ireland. And also in June 2016, the SEC allowed companies that have to file the annual their financial statements, not only the annual financial statements, but that have to file the financial statements in a machine-readable format, to file them in inline XBRL. So it is possible for an issuer that is listed both in the US and in Europe to use the same technology. Regarding the taxonomy and extensions, in our feedback statement, we suggested to make use of the IFRS taxonomy, which is prepared by the IFRS Foundation in order to allow that IFRS financial statements can be presented in XBRL. However, we suggested also not to make use of extensions to this base taxonomy. So what we suggested is that issuers would not be allowed to extend it for any entity-specific extensions. The reason for that was that it was feedback which we received before the consultation that entity-specific extensions undermine comparability and make it difficult to consume the data. However, it has to be said from the feedback we received that this proposal was not very well received, so the majority of respondents said, well, if you use the IFRS taxonomy, then it's also necessary to allow extensions because as the IFRS taxonomy is built up now, it is not really useful to use it without extensions. So we took that into account, and we will most likely allow extensions in the future. However, what is important is that the creation of these extensions will be guided by rules and the mechanism so that there is no proliferation of inappropriate extensions, which indeed would make the consumption of the data in the structured format very difficult. So what we also suggested in the feedback statement is to have a phased approach, because as mentioned before, there was also quite a lot of concerns that were mentioned by issuers regarding the implementation of this European single electronic format in a structured format. And one of the reasons for this feedback was also that there is simply currently a lack of familiarity with the technology, and so therefore we felt it appropriate to have a phased approach where we only require the tagging of the primary financial statements for the first 2 years, and only afterwards the tagging requirement would be extended also to the notes of the financial statements. And that was at least our intention, or we hope that this is the case, alleviates the burden on the issuers in the beginning and is somehow a smooth way of introducing structured electronic reporting in Europe. It is also a way which was actually used by the US SEC, so they also had a phased approach, and also in Japan. So, conscious of the time, I will just skip these two slides regarding cost-benefit analysis. However, in case you're interested, you have it contained in your slide deck, so you might refer to that. So I was talking a lot about what we did so far and where we are now, but what will we have to do in the future? In the future, we'll also have to develop now the detailed rules, because so far we only published in the feedback statement the broad policy lines, but not the nitty-gritty technical details. As a first step, we undertook an analysis regarding implementation options, in which we assessed what should be the appropriate scope of tagging, where we also assessed what would be the appropriate level of tagging, so what should be the right granularity. Should there be detailed tagging for all items in the annual financial report or all items in the IFRS consolidated financial statements? Or should there be some block tagging only? We assessed also whether we should develop a regulatory extension taxonomy and whether entity-specific extensions should be allowed, and if so, under which conditions. And what we currently have there in mind is to require detailed tagging in the primary financial statements, but to require only block tagging in the notes, at least in the first stage. Maybe it might be extended in the future. As already mentioned before, we consider it appropriate to allow extensions and to, however, then develop rules under which circumstances you can create such extensions and what you should do in order to make them consumable for software. So once we will have developed all these detailed rules, we will undertake a field test. This is also a legal requirement that we have to follow before we can submit the regulatory technical standard to the European Commission for endorsement. And once also that will be finalized, we will submit the regulatory technical standard to the European Commission. It will be afterwards, hopefully at least, endorsed by the co-legislators. And if so, then it will become a Commission-delegated regulation, which would be directly applicable in all member states without a need for transposition at the national level. We are, of course, also conscious that this project is the largest XBRL project using the IFRS taxonomy. So therefore, of course, we are conscious that it's important to cooperate with the IFRS Foundation in this regard. And so we have currently already a regular exchange of views with the IFRS taxonomy team. We already had a joint workshop to discuss with the IFRS taxonomy team how the design of the ESMA regulatory extension taxonomy should be. We had already meetings with the board advisors, and we are also exploring whether there is the possibility to cooperate with the IFRS Foundation regarding the field test. So that was a short introduction or a short summary of what we did so far, and if there are any questions, we are happy to answer them. Thank you.
Michael and Roxana, thank you very much for that. As you say, the largest project involving the IFRS taxonomy, and so very relevant to see how member organisation as ESMA of this advisory council is working with the IFRS, and very topical. And I'm wondering if there is anybody from the foundation. Is Rita here? Who would like to perhaps make any comment around working with ESMA and how that is working in terms of, I mean, not so much the relationship, but in how the use of the taxonomy and how you're finding pursuing that. Sorry to put you on the spot, Rita. And then we do have a couple of questions. So, Rita, comment from you.
We really share the same goal. We really want to promote structured electronic reporting because we feel very strongly that more and more investors are moving more and more in the digital world and currently rely on third-party data to meet their need for structured electronic data. So by promoting the IFRS taxonomy, by working with ESMA, we really work together to promote better communication. And as you know, better communication is a very important part of the board's project in the upcoming years, really. And that is the needed short thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah. Thank you, Rita. Surya.
Thank you, Joanna. From my past life, I used to be with ACRA in Singapore, responsible for this in 2009 and 10, so it's really good to see the proliferation. And first, an offer, if you're not already in touch with them, I'd be more than happy to put you in touch with the teams there so that you can see what they learned and otherwise. And some of the challenges that you speak were quite common to us, although the technology was at a nascent stage. My real question is to you, Joanna, and to Hans. There is this debate around extensions that has been around forever, and typically it comes in as a request for an industry extension because people say my industry is different from yours, and the IFR, our standards typically are industry agnostic. So I see a potential point of tension there, and perhaps it's something that can be in our future agenda for some of the technical staff from the taxonomy side to talk to us about it, to focus on this particular debate so that the broader group can get involved in it.
And I guess that's a very topical, the wider corporate reporting and the bringing in the primary financial statements, EBIT. We're now on IFRS taxonomy and extending it. Yale.
I think you're touching on one of the challenges that we want to try to tackle this year, and I will ask Rita to add to what I'm going to say, but it's really the tension between principle-based accounting standards and the technology-based reporting, which needs more standardization, and where you draw the line. And you have very different school of thoughts in the market and around stakeholders as to what they want and see from us. It's a very, very diverse audience that seeks for very different results. So preparers want full flexibility, whereas some regulators want much more structured and even regulatory-based solutions. And we need to bridge between these views, and I think the board advisors now are on the spot on this point. It has the conceptual challenge, and it also has the technological challenge. We have another model in the U.S. that's up and running, and it will. We have to consider that, because once the IFRS taxonomy has been approved for use in the U.S. market, and if the same principles on extensions will apply to the IFRS taxonomy, we have to find a solution that, for instance, a company that is listed in both U.S. and European market has a similar or one set of electronic report. So this is a very complex question, and I think we are now tackling this with the board advisors. Rita, I don't know if you want to add.
Yeah, you have said the main things. Yael, I just want to add two more things. The first thing is probably something that represents my personal viewpoint. Often we hear that, in fact, there is a tension between principle-based reporting and structured electronic reporting. My view would be that, you know, technology can help us here. If we find right ways so that preparers can still tell their story, can still tag entity-specific disclosures, but at the same time communicate as well within an electronic world how their entity-specific disclosures relate to something that exists in the taxonomy, maybe this is a way forward, and this is the kind of areas we are considering. I think regarding taxonomies for specific activities, I just want to highlight here that the taxonomy team for the last few years has been involved in many projects where they did an empirical analysis of nearly now 1,000 financial statements, which included financial statements specific to particular activities, and elements or disclosures that were commonly found within these financial statements may not necessarily described within the IFRS standards have been added also to the IFRS taxonomy. And these are the two comments I would like to make here.
I think Rita and Yael, and from the comment that Surya made, perhaps I just encourage you to think, is there something that the Advisory Council can help to think around in terms of advice around this topic? And I think it's interesting in terms of your initial feedback that you got as to the different views, and particularly the users were not so supportive of doing this kind of reporting. And my guess is because it is for that this same kind of reason, in terms of people saying we're different. And so maybe that we can, as an advisory council, I don't know what, but there is something perhaps we could consider in relation to this. Now, somebody else had their... Olivia.
Thank you. Yes, I understand the...
Can you pull the microphone slightly closer to yourself? Thank you. To you.
I understand the wish to have a unique system accessible to all users, letting them access to the same data everywhere. So it is a system that could help them, and it's quite understandable. But I wonder if it's not a lack that specific entity presentation will not be allowed to be posted on that system, because this specific entity-specific presentation will help to understand the presentation of the group to the analyst. And I think it would be a pity to stay only on the, I would say, a rigid presentation, all the same.
Michael, do you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I mean, entity-specific extensions will most likely be allowed. So therefore, it is possible to show the story of the issuer in a flexible way. And in addition to that, the annual financial report will always be human readable anyway in the XHTML document. So I think there is not anything lost, but there is something additional gained, namely that the data can also now be consumed by software and by machines, in addition to what is already available, namely the human readable annual financial report.
Any other questions or comments? Yes. I can't read you, Daniel.
You.
Please go, Robert.
I have a question regarding the field testing. When can we expect the field test to start? Who will be involved? How long is it going to take? And then a comment. You mentioned on one of your slides cost-benefit analysis and potential average costing by each issuer for implementation. From our perspective, and I'm representing a preparers group, we think it's by far too low. And would you expect different results after the field testing, or how is this cost-benefit analysis testing also included in your field testing? Thank you.
Regarding the field test, I think we haven't completely defined the scope yet, and this is something which you are exploring a little bit with the ISB, how we can do that, because they run already that exercise in a different context. So I think we don't have yet all the full answer to that. Then regarding the cost-benefit analysis, certainly that was, I think, our biggest challenge. And when we published initially the consultation, we did a kind of preliminary analysis, which we tried to enrich based on answers we got through the consultation paper. I think what everybody needs to understand is that somehow the point we took it in Europe, it's like, at the point in time when a company has already prepared its financial reporting, so it's like you have it a PDF file, Word file, or whatever, then you just go through the step in which you put the text and then you go there. Now, this exercise, of course, depends on how big the financial statements are, but this is a completely different approach to what other people have in mind, like, you know, embedding XBRL in their reporting process and so on, which is not our objective. It's not us who define that. This is the way is prescribed in the European regulation, and actually what we ask for, it's kind of limited exercise which only makes available the structured information based on the human readable version. So I think what we put in there as cost-benefit analysis is really what we could get as best evidence from the consultation and also from the studies we have seen from other jurisdictions which put this in place.
Goro.
Yes. Probably this might be the question to Yael, but I'm just wondering that we are talking about that the licensing or the intellectual property this afternoon, but these types of project, IFRS taxonomy. That the ESMA, that the from regulatory purpose, I believe that it is quite difficult for regulators to ask that the listed companies or the preparers to pay the cost of these. And the is that something that the foundation can monetize that the your project on the taxonomy?
You're touching on the $1 million question that we're touching it internally, which is what would be the business model for this activity? Because so far, it is completely free of charge. And we've been developing it as part of our public interest role. And obviously, we also need to consider market practices in which, the convention is that this kind of activities or similar activities are not charged for. However, we need to think about the future, and as this becomes increasingly the key communication between investors and companies, and we, let's say 10 years from now, might be only working on the taxonomy, who knows? We need to find a sustainable business model for this. And the first step we took is to, first of all, we are just in the process of attaching a terms and conditions for the first time for this activity, so at least we have some record of our intellectual property over this. It's for free of charge, but at least it states that we own the product. And in the future, we are looking at various possibilities, one of which is that Obviously, the taxonomy is our creation, but given the market expectations, it would be difficult to charge for the taxation as such. But thinking creatively, and this is already for my successor, but the idea of this taxonomy as the main tool to disseminate our content, our literature, might be a way to capitalize and monetize this. So in a sense, so for example, if you want to tag, so say you are an investor, a preparer, and you need to prepare your financial statements and your digital report, and you need to understand the tag. So instead of opening the book and looking at what the tag means, it will all be consolidated into a system that actually the access to the premium content of explaining the tag and explaining the rationale, that would be on a paid website or a paid next level website, which is monetized. So we're trying to build that sort of thinking around what's the basis product that we provide for free and what are the premium content product that we can add on to this that could be part of our revenue in the future. Because as you will hear today, this area changes all the time, how people use content in financial reporting context, and we are chasing the market in a way.
So, Gaurav, an extraordinarily good question, and obviously one that the foundation is grappling with, but certainly it's got my mind ticking, and hopefully some other advisory council members, and in the session that we've got later about commercialization, and Miranda is staring at me, I guess we can, you know, she is going to share with us some of the things that are being considered. So, and I hope you're blocking your ears, Michael and Roxana. Okay, on that note, I'd like to thank Roxana and Michael. Thank you for coming to join us. That has been, I think, a very valuable presentation. And I do encourage other, for new members, we have now for the last couple of years had as a standard agenda item member communications, where we encourage a or two members of the advisory council rather than just hearing from the foundation staff and board members to present on something that their organisation is doing around IFRS and communicating in relation to the mission statement. So thank you, Roxana and Michael. And now Gaurav, I know, wants to share with us just a little bit around how the Asia Oceania office is working.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Joanna.
Well, we have a slide, but you can't see it.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to share that the activity, the knowledge on the SHAC activities of Asian Oceania office and pan-Asian or the more regional activities, because there were some concern that the Asia Oceania office, which is based in Tokyo, tend to be just focusing on the Japanese stakeholders, but the Asian Oceania office is managing holding many conference or outreach with many stakeholders. Particularly that they are accelerating that the outreach of the investor or the stakeholders outside Japan. And unfortunately that we lacked the slide, but recently, the end of February 28th, that the Asian Oceania office has the first user workshop for IFRS financial statements in Hong Kong. And I did not participate in that, but I'm an active participant of the Japanese user workshops. This particular one is the very first attempt to have a workshop with the investor group in Hong Kong. And they discussed that operating income and the non-operating income, what kind of element should be included in that operating income or non-operating income. And they had a very lively discussion on that, for example, that the income from the affiliates should be regarded as operating income or non-operating income. There was a very good debate on that. And the Asian Oceania office will host the CLAF meeting with the Japanese CLAF and also Australian CLAF in the next month. Oh yes, this one. So that the Asian Oceania office is accelerating their outreach activities in the regional investment community outside Japan. So I think that they are quite active, and they are exploiting that the location, which is based in Tokyo. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Goro. Any questions of Goro on that update? No? Okay, well, thank you, Goro, for that. And as I said before, Roxana and Michael, we'll now move on to the next agenda item.